it is Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
I'm John Batchelor. It is Happy Birthday, Bob Zimmerman. Behind the Black is here to comment on the engineering challenges at NASA, at SpaceX, at Big Space India. However, your donations and subscriptions keep this conversation going after many years, and you're very generous about it. We're coming to a point, though, where SLS, decades in creation, in explanation, in disappointment, is getting to a point where it is no longer acceptable conduct. Bob explains. Bob, a very good evening to you. The story so far is sad and tragic. A commitment by Congress, which has changed several times in the decades that SLS has been in development. Several times. There's nobody hardly there left from those days. Congress insists, and yet SLS is not adequate. One explanation I mention again and again, because I read a lot of seafaring novels, is there's a Jonah on board. That is not to excuse. That is to say, accept the fact that Jonah must be gotten rid of, and the only way to do it is to end the project, because you can't argue with Jonah. Jonah tells you again and again, this is not going well. Last time we talked about the wet dress rehearsal. Now there's something new. What's happened, Bob? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. I once again have to thank your listeners for their incredible support for my website. You know, my website's been around for about almost 16 years, but I formed this website after SLS was first proposed, and I've actually accomplished a lot more than SLS has in a period of time, John. So, so they did the wet dress rehearsal last week, and it went well, and everything seemed good, and they were very optimistic that they were now going to be able to get the launch off of the orb of the mission to send four astronauts around the moon and back to Earth, 10-day mission. And they were going to be able to do it in March. And then, lo and behold, the very next day, over the weekend, there was a serious problem that occurred in unfueling the rocket and prepping it for later work. And that was that in the upper stage of SLS, in trying to remove the fuel, to pump the fuel out, they need to pump helium into the tank to maintain pressure. So as the hydrogen fuel goes out, the helium fills the space and maintains the pressure so you can get the fuel out. The helium wouldn't flow. And with the stop flowing, they couldn't drain the tanks as they planned. They eventually got the tanks drained. But this problem is a serious one because, you see, the helium is used in the tanks to maintain pressure during launch as well. So if the helium doesn't flow into the tanks during launch as the fuel is being pumped out and burned, the rocket will not have the power to fly. If this had happened during a launch, we would have a failed launch. We would have had a launch abort. The Orion capsule would have had a parachute down to Earth. This would have been a failed launch. So it's a serious problem, and they have to figure out what the problem is. So they announced this cancels a March launch. What they're going to have to do now is roll the rocket back to the vehicle assembly building and look at it in the building to see what the problem was, what caused that helium not to flow. It could just simply be a filter has to be replaced. It might be a very simple repair. But the problem is it takes about a week to get the rocket back to the VAB. It's going to take a week or two to fix the problem. And then it's going to take a week to get it back to the launch pad. And then you got a situation where will you test it again? Will you do another wet dress rehearsal? And that pushes us up against the April 6th launch window closure. There isn't a date, by the way, April 30th, but NASA was never intending to use that date. So April 6th is the deadline, and they really have a limited number of days to make this all happen. And so we're facing the possibility that they will not get this launch off in the April spring window, which is something I predicted based upon the history of SLS. I didn't think they were going to be able to get this all ready in time for this window job.
Bob, I watched the press conference with Jared Isaacman, the new administrator, the astronaut, the jet pilot, the brave man, the spacewalker. Everything about him says, I do it right the first time. I'm very careful. I line my ducks up and I perform. That's his experience. He's a billionaire. He's been successful in several fields. He is not a defensive speaker. He was extremely uncomfortable at the podium. He didn't like what he was having to say at all. You can hear it in his voice. You don't have to watch him.
Yeah.
He is a winner. That's his. He's on a roll. He's had a lucky life. He's aware of it. He's trying to do the right thing and help NASA. It's not working, Bob.
Yeah, you know, John, you're right. Isaacman is stuck with SLS and Orion. He had to make promises to Congress to support it in order to get confirmed. But he doesn't like it. He's made it clear he doesn't like it. He's even made it clear when he first talked about getting this launch off, he says this is the rocket with the slowest launch rate of anything NASA's ever built, once every 2 to 3 years. And we need to move on past it. He's already said that. And he's aware of the Orion heat shield problem, and he's concerned about it. So he's stuck with this, and he's not happy about it. And I have theorized that he wants to make it clear to everyone the problems of SLS, and he's willing to let SLS hang out to dry in this matter. But you're right. He's very uncomfortable with the problem because he would rather go with something better, which I think almost anybody in the space industry would agree. The only ones that want to go with SLS right now are those people in NASA who have built it and the people in Congress who conceived it. Because this wasn't a engineer project. SLS and Orion was created by Congress, and they aren't the best engineers in the world, as we now can see.
What's wrong with it, Bob? What was it original design? Was it
yes.
The length of time they took to get it on the pad?
Everything about it was wrong from the beginning. First of all, it was clutched together by Congress. Congress said, use old shuttle parts to save time and money. That's not how you build a rocket. That's bad thinking.
Well, did they put the wrong people in charge? You know, policy comes down to leadership.
You know, what happens is if Congress dictates you have to do something in a certain way, no matter how stupid, it doesn't matter what management people
you put
in place.
Yeah, but you attract the wrong people then to manage something that is disdained by the best engineers.
You're absolutely right. Yes, this is why I think Eisenman's uncomfortable. He's one of the best, and he's now stuck with something he doesn't like. The whole program is a mistake from the start. In every single way, it was designed badly. It didn't have a purpose to begin with. Congress wanted a rocket. They didn't have a program for
the
rocket.
All right, here's my concern, Bob. You remember I'm a novelist.
Yeah.
It's telling us the tragedies ahead.
Yes. Yes. I mean, I've been saying this repeatedly. I'm terrified of this mission because not only does SLS have all these niggling problems. Now, remember, it did launch and function successfully on the 22 unmanned mission. But nonetheless, it has all these issues. And that upper stage is actually a very reliable upper stage used on ULA's Delta IV rockets. It's now been adapted for SLS. So for it to have a problem like this now is very disturbing. So you got that as a question. And then you have the question of the Orion heat shield, which is unreliable, and an untested life support system. Yes, this is Columbia, Challenger, and ISS, and Apollo 1 all over again.
One more thing. If successful, it goes nowhere. It's a dead end.
Yes. That's the other aspect of this, John. We don't win no matter what. I don't want anyone to die, but if no one dies and this mission comes back successfully, it lays the groundwork for another dangerous SLS mission to land on the moon when the whole program is not ready to do that. It's just everything about this whole program is a disaster, and it should be stopped. It should be stopped and rethought. And I've been saying this now literally for 15 years, almost from the day I started Behind the Black. In 2011, I said SLS is a mistake. We should drop it. In 2015, I said Orion is a lie. We should drop it. It's not getting what we want accomplished. But we are where we are, John.
SpaceX, let's go for commercial space. a reuse record. What is it now? 85? Right. What are they?
No, not that much, John. But I keep track of the most the records of the most reused vehicles or launch vehicles. And the most relaunched launch vehicle is Discovery, the space shuttle that's launched 39 times. And then comes Atlantis, the space shuttle, 33 times. Well, this past weekend, SpaceX launched a first stage for the 33rd time. And so it now is tied Atlantis. SpaceX has three other boosters that are coming up from behind, and they have said they want to have 40 launches with their boosters, and I think they're going to do it. And I think their choice of 40 was interesting, John, because 40 breaks Discovery's record. So I think SpaceX from the beginning wanted to have its first stage boosters have the most reuses of anything, and that's where they're heading right now.
And we move to your Exo launch integrates 5 satellites. Do I know Exo launch?
No, you probably don't, John. It's a cottage industry. This is a company that acts as a dispatcher integrator for satellite companies. If you build a satellite like a CubeSat, you're in a university, you hire Exo launch to find you a launch. It also provides the deployment equipment in the launch, and it integrates the satellite with the rocket for you. So a student project at a university would hire ExoLaunch to do this. And so ExoLaunch was hired actually by about 5 universities in Europe to integrate their CubeSat satellites on the German startup ISAR Aerospace's rockets, Spectrum rocket. They are hoping to launch in March. This would be their second attempt to launch. And they would launch out of Norway. And now, so the rocket has now been integrated with its payload. So we're getting close. And they look like they're going to be the first European startup, new startup to launch from Europe, John. ISAR Aerospace. That's what's important about this story.
India wants to dock with ISS. This is the India manned space program, correct?
Correct. Correct. They have a capsule called Gaganyaan that they hope to do unmanned tests this year with the first manned orbital mission next year. There might be delays in that mission. They're having issues, but they are still moving forward. They're in negotiations with NASA to possibly down the road, before ISS goes away, to do a docking mission of Gaganyaan on ISS. This would give them training to do such things for their own space station. And it makes sense. They want NASA all to help train their astronauts. Makes sense. If it happens, it'll probably happen in 29 because there's just so many ports on ISS, John.
And Gaganyaan mission delay, which this is the one to the moon?
No, this is their manned orbital mission. I mentioned it. They are planning to do untested missions of a Gaganyaan capsule this year. And the first orbital manned mission was set for the first quarter of next year. They're now saying it might be delayed into the later parts of next year. This is just being dotting all the I's and crossing all the T's, John, because a manned mission, you don't want something to go wrong.
One question I didn't ask about Isaacman. Yes, he had to make promises to Congress, but he also had conversations with the president, who suspended his qualifications at one point and then brought him back. Is the delay with SLS, does that indicate that we can't get there by January 29 to the moon?
I have been predicting now for more than 2 years that that landing will not occur before 2030, John. I stand by that prediction. If that's the case, the first landing on the moon would very likely be an entire Starship Super Heavy mission of a Starship lander and a Starship orbiter launched by Super Heavy. I'm predicting that. I've been predicting that for 2 years.
Do they need to do the circumlunar by such and such a date in order to make 29?
Starship Super Heavy is going to do multiple test missions long before a manned mission, and they'll be able to do multiple missions before 2030 for sure. So they should almost certainly be able to do a manned mission to land.
What about SLS? Is there a window?
SLS, I think, nothing earlier than 30, which means it probably never happened.
And they know that now?
I know that now. They've been hiding that fact. The whole program's been unrealistic. All they've right. been delaying it weekly for years.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. Your donation subscriptions will participate in this prognostication. I'm John Batchelor.
Ready to put a little spin on your day? Then check out Chumba Casino's new online social casino game, Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's free and packed with 10,000 ways to play, only at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.